Thanks again for listening to our podcast. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for other episodes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it and share it with friends. For more info or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we are one family in faith.
At the beginning of this year, God gave us a word and God gave us a promise that we would see the overflow. Amen? Anybody remember that? That we would see the overflow. I want to tell you today that His word never returns void. How many believe that His word never returns void? And God is not surprised by anything that's going on in the world today, actually, believe it or not. In the beginning of the year, God also gave us a word that there would be two forces that we would need to oppose, two forces, two enemies at work against the church, and it would be sickness and lack. That was in January God gave us that word. How many know what happened in March? We didn't know that not only was that word for us, but that word was for the body of Christ at large, and that word was for the nation. That word was for the nations. That the enemy that was opposing us was sickness and lack. But God's promise still hangs in the balance. Look at somebody and say, God's promise still hangs in the balance. Because there's this thing about God's promise that it never returns void. It never comes back. He never bounces checks. So what He said at the beginning of the year, He already knew the opposition that you would face before He told you that you would see the overflow. Amen. The same God that said you're going to see the overflow also said, hey, look out for sickness and lack. The devil's going to try to come at you with that. Look at somebody and say, the devil's going to try, but he's not going to win. So how do we work with this? How do we, in spite of sickness and lack, how do we see God's word come to pass? That's what I want to talk about this month. I want to talk about how do we get God's word? How do we stand on God's word and see that come into reality for us and see what God wants to do in 2020? Because look, I'm not giving up on 20. I've seen the memes, but I hadn't given up on what God has said on 2020. Amen. And so this is where I'm at. I've seen people in the body get breakthroughs. I've seen people in the body get miracles. I've seen people walking in their overflow. But as a pastor, I've sat back and said, you know what? I haven't seen everybody see their overflow. So I will not be satisfied. Church, we cannot be satisfied until we see everybody walking in the blessings of God. Everybody walking in the abundance of God. Everybody walking in the abundance of God's promises for their life. I'm not satisfied just to see some of us blessed. I want to see every one of us blessed. And so I want to talk to you today about something that God put on my heart, which is ending well. Would you just say that with me? Ending. God wanted me to tell you today, it's time to end well. 2020, you're going to end it well. If you'll follow His promises, if you'll stand on His word, God wants you to end well. How many believe that today? How many want to hear about ending well? Go ahead and look up Galatians 6:7, and I want to talk to you today, and I want to talk to you this month about ending well. What we need to do to walk out the last month, the last leg of the season to see God's promises come to pass. And this is what Galatians 6:7 says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. No, you can take this so many different ways, but every way is powerful. I'll read it again. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. I want to take this kind of a piece at a time. But the Apostle Paul tells us, don't be misled. There's a lot of things being said. There's a lot of things being taught. You can go on YouTube and pull up some teachings and get misled. But the Apostle Paul said, don't be misled. Don't be misled. There are certain ways about how God works. There's certain principles. There's certain spiritual laws in the Bible. God has a principled way in which his kingdom operates. Just like our nation has rules and laws, and nature has rules and laws, God's kingdom has rules and laws. You can believe in him or not believe in him, but his laws are still his laws. You can believe or not believe in gravity, but if you jump off the roof of your house, something's going to happen. You don't have to believe in gravity to benefit or be victimized by it. It is a law of nature. There are laws just as real as gravity that govern God's kingdom. You can fight them or embrace them, but they're not going away. These spiritual laws and principles that God set in place can either benefit you or if you understand them, or they can be a frustration to you if you don't. Many Christians walk around the same mountain. They are the proverbial children of Israel in the wilderness because there are some spiritual laws they have just not learned. No matter how many times they've gone around the mountain, no matter how many years they've been in the faith, they are missing some critical spiritual laws to help them walk in the fullness of what God has for them. Maybe you're hitting a dead end. Maybe you've hit a place in 2020 that you're saying, maybe I'm missing a spiritual principle. Maybe I'm missing something that I need to just throw me over the edge. Maybe it's one principle. Maybe just one or two principles that I need to understand to walk in the fullness of what God is wanting to do in 2020 for me. Our knowledge of his law does not change the fact that it is real. You reap what you sow. Say that with me. We've probably heard that more times than we care to admit. In the church, outside of the church, everybody knows you reap what you sow. But do we really have the full understanding of that? What you harvest today is a result of what you have sown yesterday. Grab a hold of this. The harvest that you have today, or the lack of the harvest that you have today, is a result of what you sowed yesterday. What you did in the last season. That's the harvest or the lack of harvest. If you don't like the harvest that's in your life, check the seed. If you are seeing that you don't have the harvest that you want, check the seed. Go back and check the seed. Go back and check the soil. God's kingdom works like this. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. Sow forgiveness, you'll reap it. Sow compassion, you'll reap it. Sow love, you'll reap it. Sow finances, you'll reap it. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. If we want to end well, we need to sow well. We need to know what to sow so that we get the harvest that God would have for us. This is a covenant relationship we have with God, correct? So there's part of the covenant that he fulfills, there's part of the covenant that we fulfill, right? Is it possible that your next harvest is waiting on the seed that you have not yet sown? Is it possible that some of the problems in your life right now are a product of some of the wrong seeds that you sown? What you sow is what you reap. Don't be misled about this. It's just the way God's spiritual principle works. It's the law that governs God's kingdom. What you harvest today is a result of what you've sown. You cannot sow one thing and reap another. Now, this is something I think we get confused about. You can't sow one thing and reap something different. You can't sow stinginess and reap generosity. Right? You can't sow unforgiveness and reap forgiveness. The Bible's clear on this, too. You can't even receive the gift of salvation if you don't have forgiveness in your heart. That's what the Word of God says. It says, if you want me to forgive, you got to forgive others. We have to sow forgiveness. Whatever you sow, you reap. But listen to this. You can't sow kindness and reap prosperity. Some Christians don't understand this. You can't sow love and reap prosperity. You can't sow prosperity and reap compassion. You sow what you reap. In the natural, we don't plant an apple tree and expect an orange tree. We don't plant daisies and expect lilies. The Spirit is the same way. You can't plant one thing and expect another. Even if they're both good things, even if they're similar, I can't plant one and expect the other. I can't sow strawberries and reap blueberries. They're both berries, though. They're both fruits. We think that. Sow a fruit of the Spirit, reap another fruit of the Spirit. No, it doesn't work like that. You sow what you reap. If you want strawberries, you got to sow strawberries. You want blueberries, you got to sow blueberries. Genesis tells us this. Genesis 1:11, it says that God says, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. So from an apple tree is going to come the seed to make another apple tree. From an orange is going to come the seed to make another orange tree, another orange grove. It's going to produce after its own kind. Whatever you sow, the same thing, somebody say the same thing, you'll reap. So what are you sowing right now? What are you sowing in this season to reap in the next season? What is the seed that you're sowing? What type of harvest do you want in your life? We don't need to go haphazardly. We need to pray about it. God, what type of seeds do I need to sow right now to reap the harvest that I need to accomplish my destiny? To accomplish the things that you promised me, to accomplish the overflow, what seeds do I need to be sowing today? Ask God, what kind of harvest do you need in your life to accomplish your purpose? You must sow the right seed to reap the right harvest. You'll never reap the harvest until you sow the seed that you have. Today, you may not have the harvest that you want, but you do have the seed that you need. Why? The Bible says he gives seed to the sower. Boom. So you already have the seed required for the harvest you need. All it takes is the faith and sometimes the strategy to sow it. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth, including the strategy in how to see the overflow. Some believers at the end of their life, they have a great big harvest of love and kindness. But over here, they have not a harvest of finances. Some have the opposite. They have a big, big, big harvest of finances, but they weren't really nice to people. They understood how to work that principle of sowing finances, but loving kindness, they kind of live in a lonely life later on. People are like, well, thanks for that hand up, but I don't really like you that much to hang out with you. I mean, if I have a choice, I'd rather hang out with these people over here that just showed love and kindness. Now, what seeds do you need to sow? Some people are puzzled. Christians at the end of their life. They sowed love and kindness and compassion. They sowed faith. But at the end, they don't have the resources that they need to bless the people around them that God put in their life. They don't have the resources to bless their family the way that they would want to. What do I need to sow today for my harvest tomorrow? Say it with me. What do I need to sow today for my harvest tomorrow? You know, sowing is not always a financial thing, but sometimes it is. So the question is, what do you need to sow today? Is it love? Is it kindness? Is it finances? Is it friendliness, right? The Bible says if you want friends, show yourself friendly. Plant the seed of friendliness. Now, what we understand in agriculture is that if a seed is sown in good soil, we never get back just what we planted. This is the way that the natural law works. It's the way that the spiritual law works as well. And that is, if I plant a seed in good soil, I am not going to get back just what I put in. Instead, there's going to be a harvest. It's going to be either a small harvest, right? Or a medium-sized harvest, or a large harvest, right? If I sow a seed in good soil and the preparation has been done right, correct? I put the seed in the ground, I'm going to get 30, 60, 100-fold. I'm going to get a small, a medium, or a large harvest, correct? Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew, in Mark 4:20? He said, in the seed that fell on good soil. The good soil represents those who hear. Anybody hearing today? And accepts God's word and produces a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. So the farmer who sows the seed in good soil receives either a small, a medium, or a large harvest. So if we sow in the right way, like Jesus is talking about, we should expect a 30, 60, 100 fold. We should expect a small, medium, or large harvest. Off every seed planted in good soil, we should expect, not what we put in, we should expect a small, medium, or large harvest. Now, I don't know about you, but every time, I'm not expecting 30. I'm not expecting 60 either. I'm expecting 100-fold return, because that's just where I'm at with my faith. If I'm going to sow, I may as well expect maximum return on investment. I don't know about you, but when I come and I approach the throne room with boldness, I'm not asking for 30%. I'm not asking for 60 either. I want God's best. And I believe the good God that everything good comes down from, wants the best for us. He doesn't want 30% for you. He doesn't want 60%. I think he's just saying, if you're sowing in good soil, good things are going to happen. Worst case scenario, you get a small harvest. But our faith, our hope, our mentality, if we want to see the overflow, has to be 100-fold every time. I'm looking for 100-fold every time. I'm looking for the large harvest every time. I don't know about you, but that's where my faith is saying, I don't care what 2020 has looked like. His promise remains that I'm going to see the overflow, and I'm expecting not for what I gave to come back to me, not to be shortchanged, not to be in the middle of a famine. I'm expecting 100-fold return. Amen. 100-fold return represents full capacity. When you get 100% return, that means that you've prepared the soil, you're in the right soil, you've prepared the right soil, you understand the seasons, and you are getting full capacity. Everything that God wants for you, everything that God has for you, you're walking in that. Why? You understand the principles of God, and you are walking away, not leaving anything on the table. How many know when you do a deal, you're not supposed to leave anything on the table? When you get 100%, you're not leaving anything on the table. There's no 90%. There's no 40%. There's no whatever percentage that's left on the table. You're saying, God, I want your best. I want to end well. I want to see the overflow. And that's what I want for our church, all of us, to end well, to see the overflow, to see the 100-fold return. Now, how many green thumbs do we have in the room? You have some degree of ability. All right, excellent. It's not all of us, guys. It's not all of us. Sister Kendi already testified to the fact that she killed a cactus, and we don't know how that happened, but it happened, though. We don't understand. It's a different sermon. It's a different sermon. Some things are easier to grow than others. Amen? Right? So there's some things that it's not very difficult to grow. You kind of put that thing in there, boom. But other things take a little more effort. The Bible tells us first the natural, then the spiritual. It's the same way in the spirit. There's some things that are easier to grow, right, than other things. You've seen that in your life. If you take a step back and think about it, there's some seeds that you planted. You planted and it's like immediately you saw something. It's like, boom, out, miracle grow, right? Other things, it's like you planted and it's like, what? What happened with the cultivation process here? Something is up. Some things are more difficult to grow than others. They take more effort. In the spirit, it's not difficult to get a harvest of unforgiveness going. Or a harvest of gossip. You gossip, now other people gossiping about you. Betrayal, you betrayed some people, now you got other people betrayed. Sevenfold has come back into your life. Hurt. It's not difficult to get these type of, these are the weeds of life. It's not hard to get a bunch of weeds going on. What takes more effort are the things of value. If you want to sow and reap things of spiritual significance, there's going to need to be soil preparation and insight into seasons. Come on, say it with me. Soil preparation. Insight into seasons. Takes a little more effort to sow the things of significance. If I want a harvest of great relationships or finances, this takes a bit more understanding of spiritual things. It takes the right soil. It even necessitates an understanding of seasons. Because there can be people around you, but if you're not talking to the right people, you're not going to develop the right relationships. If you're not approaching them the right way, you're not going to see the harvest. If you're not approaching them at the right time, the right season, you're not going to be planting the right relational seeds to have the relational harvest that God wants to have in your life. For kingdom blessing on your finances, you can't just sow anywhere. I had somebody tell me, good Lord, it was somebody I was working with. He told me, he said, you know, I'm doing this startup. We're doing great things in the community. And I used my tithes money to give tuition to this kid. And I was like, okay. All right. Okay. Let's roll this back. Okay. It's a blessing to be a blessing in the community, but you have to understand certain spiritual laws if you want things to be blessed. You want the kingdom blessing on your finances. You can't just sow anywhere. You have to sow into the kingdom, into ministry that's doing what the Bible says. There's some ministries that actually, unfortunately, they're not doing, something's broken. They might be good people. Something's broken and they're not doing the things that God has told them to do. They're not doing the things like the Bible says to do. You sow into God's kingdom. You have to also have an understanding of seasons. There's moments that God says, plant a seed. There's other times God says, be still. Shh. That's not for you. That's not your moment to sow. Other people around you could be sowing. Boom, boom, boom. People giving. Strong gifts. And the Holy Spirit says, no, that's not you. Then other times the Holy Spirit says, now. Now is your moment. Now is the time. Now is the right season for you. There are other things in the kingdom that are easier to grow. It's kindness. You know, it's easy to get started in kindness. It's easy to start sowing some seeds of kindness. You can start with people right around you that you already kind of like. Right? It's not hard to be kind to people. Show the spiritual gift of kindness to those that are already nice to you. It's not difficult to get started. It's not difficult to get started with sowing seeds of love. Now, at some point in your life and maturity, God will ask you to be kind and ask you to love people that are not easy to love and not easy to be. Now, there'll be some harder seeds later on, but you can get started easy. But eventually, you're going to need some doors to be opened. You're going to need to know how to sow favor. That takes an understanding. You're going to need some right relationships in your life to accomplish what God has called you to do. Some people to stand alongside of you, working in the purposes that God has called you to do, to help you. For that, you have to know how to sow into relationships. Eventually, to get to the purposes that God has called, you're going to need to have the resources. You're going to have to need the finances to be able to do what God has called you to do. To reap a harvest financially, you have to know how to sow finances. Some of these things are not easy to do. There are spiritual laws attached with them. Some things are easier to grow. Somebody say that. Some things are easier to grow. Other things need to be cultivated. If you've been wondering why certain things weren't growing in your yard, it's because they have not been cultivated correctly. We have a situation in our yard right now. We're trying to grow healthy grass. And these weeds, I'll get an amen over there, amen. There's these weeds, and then there's these patches where nothing is growing. Not good. The dirt, it gets wet. The kids track the dirt everywhere. No, we need grass. Some things are easier grown. Other things have to be cultivated. Weeds grow effortlessly. Even in the best of gardens, we have to go around plucking up the weeds. Things we shouldn't have said. Things we shouldn't have done. We didn't mean to. We got upset. We said something. Did something, we have to go back and pluck up those seeds. Even in the greatest gardens, there's a couple of things we have to go back and round up and pull them out. God wants us to end well. This is what God wants me to tell you today. Now, I don't throw this around lightly. If 2020 has not gone well for you, God is telling you, don't go out like that. Don't go out like that. Don't go out like that. If you don't like how 2020 has looked, don't go out like that. God is telling you, He wants you to end well. This is your season. This is your year. How many know the baseball, the football stories that everybody talks about are not the ones where it was an easy win? It was one that they were behind. And then in the last few moments of the game, there was a turnaround and they ended the victors. They ended more than conquerors. God has already said that you're more than conquerors. You just have to know how to walk into it. You just need to know how to grab that word and apply it in your life. There's some spiritual things that God wants to show you today throughout this month because He wants you to end well. He says, don't go out like that. If this has been a rough year and you haven't already had your turnaround, if you haven't already had your miracle, if you haven't already had your breakthrough, if you haven't already had your blessing, your harvest, don't go out like that. Don't go out like that. God wants you to end well. Will you bow your heads with me today? God, thank you for your word and thank you for your challenge today, because you don't want us to end at the bottom. You don't want us to end in lack. You don't want us to end in sickness. You want us to end with the overflow of every good thing, the overflow of health, the overflow of family, the overflow of relationship, the overflow of finances, the overflow of joy, the overflow of peace that passes every understanding. God, you desire and you have designed that we would end well. God, help us grab a hold of that revelation today. God, help us grab a hold of that divine truth and not walk out of here the same way that we walked in, but walk out of here with a victorious mindset, a mindset of abundance, a mindset of overflow, a mindset that I will not quit it until I end well. I'm not giving up. I'm ending well. I've resolved in my spirit. I've resolved in my heart that I'm going to end well. And as we're praying, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. Throughout this time, my faith has been shaken a little bit, and I need to reconnect with Him. I need to really connect with Jesus today. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand today. Let me pray for you. Amen. Amen. God's doing something. God's doing something. God's doing something in this moment. And I don't take it lightly. This is not a routine for me. This is something sacred. This means something to me. If you lifted up your hand, I want you to say this prayer with me. And I want everybody to, in agreement, just say this prayer. Jesus, thank you for what you've done for me on the cross and every day of my life. Jesus, give me your faith. Help me in any area of unbelief. I need to end well. Jesus, I cling to you today. I need you today. Save me and lead me. Save me and change me. Teach me how to walk with you. Teach me how to overcome like you. Teach me how to walk in the overflow like you. I'm sorry for the times I've missed it. I'm sorry for the times I've messed up. Jesus, I receive your forgiveness today. Make me new and help me end well. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God some praise today. Come on, He's worthy of the praise.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for other episodes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it and share it with friends. For more info or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we are one family in faith.